Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Sharda Motor Industries Limited Q4 FY22 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Srinivasan N., Chief Financial Officer of the company. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening to all. A very warm welcome to all the participants on this call. This evening, I am joined by Mr. Ashim Relan, our CEO, and our investor relations advisors, MS Strategic Growth Advisors. I'm hoping that you have seen our Q4 results and have received our investor presentation by now. Those who haven't seen them yet can do so on the stock exchanges and our company's website. Before speaking about the company's performance for this quarter and full fiscal year, I would like to throw some light on the industry front. The entire fiscal had been eventful for the auto sector, with various events like lingering effects of COVID-19 pandemic, chip shortages, supply chain disruption, elevated raw material prices, and spike in crude prices on account of the geopolitical crisis to close the years. However, the industry registered a good volume growth, albeit on a lower base of FY21, which was one of the worst years. With improving semiconductor supplies and a strong shift towards personal mobility, improved customer sentiments, and new model launches, domestic PV is expected to continue its growth trajectory. Also, improving macroeconomic factors like higher spending on infrastructure and improving manufacturing activities led to improved fleet utilization and resulted in the start of an upcycle for CV demand, which is expected to continue in the current year as well. In terms of auto industry performance during quarter four, we saw sales of 9.2 lakh units in passenger vehicles, 2.5 lakh units in commercial vehicles, about 0.8 lakh units in three-wheeler sales, and about 33.5 lakh units of two-wheeler sales. For full year FY22, the passenger vehicle sales were 30.7 lakh units, commercial vehicles were 7.2 lakh units, three-wheeler sales were 2.6 lakh units, and two-wheeler sales were 134.7 lakh units during April to March 2022. The battery swapping policy will revolutionize the two-wheeler and three-wheeler EV market, as the standardization of components will enable more players to enter the market, which will drive down the cost of manufacturing and bring in technological advancements. Now coming to the business performance, our Q4 FY22 revenue was higher by 2% versus Q4 FY21. Our revenue for the full year grew by a solid 30% to INR 2,255 crores against 1,737 crores in the previous year. Further, on a sequential basis compared to quarter three of FY22, our revenue was higher by 7%. Our EBITDA, including other income, stood at INR 72 crores in Q4 FY22 as against INR 58 crores in Q4 of financial year 21, a growth of 24%. Further, EBITDA margins, including other income, were 11.6% this quarter as compared to 9.6% in the Q4 of FY21. On similar lines, on a full year basis, our EBITDA was INR 257 crores as against INR 151 crores of FY21, which is a growth of 71%. EBITDA margins, including other income, were 11.4% for FY22 as compared to 8.7% in FY21. Our PBT margins rose to 9.8% in Q4 FY22 as against 7.4% in Q4 FY21. Our consolidated PAT for Q4 FY22 was INR 45 crores as compared to INR 26 crores of Q4 of financial year 21, which is an increase of 73%. Similarly, for the full year FY22, it stood at INR 150 crores against INR 66 crores of FY21, which is an increase of 127%. With the robust performance during the year and in line with our dividend policy, we have proposed a dividend of 15% on profit after tax this year, which is equivalent to 408% dividend on the face value. With this, I would like to open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star in one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may please press star and one. The first question is on the line of Pritesh Cheda from Lucky Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, considering the OEMs that we service, which is largely non-Maruti, in fact, we don't service Maruti. So, the growth rate in those OEMs on a YOY basis was, my guess is, a fairly significant number. Yet our revenues seem to have grown at a certain rate. So, any comments there, and is there any changes in market share for our product line?
Yeah, good evening, everyone. So, this is Ashim Kalin this side, and a pleasure to be with all of you. So, taking on the first question. So, you know, there is no substantial change in market share. But, you know, as our numbers is a blend of value-added sales and brick sales, so optically there can always be some differences, but we have been in line with the OEM's performance only, and there is, in fact, maybe a slight improvement only. And it just, you know, builds on the share. So some OEMs have done very well, and some have not done so well. And as a basket, it's relatively similar.
Sir, I couldn't actually get your answer because we largely, if I'm not wrong, we largely supply to Tata Motor, Mahindra, Kia, Hyundai, if I'm not wrong. So if you could help us understand the OEM volume growth and our volume growth, if you could help us there.
Sure. So I don't have the OEM numbers individually with me right now, but we will share something to reflect offline, right? I don't have them in front of me, and it's just a blend change that we have seen, but we will try to share it offline.
Blend change means some OEM where you must be supplying the full exhaust system, you have supplied just the brick. That's how it is?
No, on a weighted average basis, you know, a certain OEM might have gained less market share. One OEM which has gained higher market share as a proportion of our sales, it might not be a lot. So that is what I mean by blend.
Okay. Now, these OEMs have a fairly robust product pipeline, and which is, you know, trending well, whether it's Kia, Mahindra or Tata Motor. Incrementally, let's say in 23, what kind of revenue growth visibility or revenue growth would you look at in the standalone operation?
So right now, you know, it's very hard to comment on revenue growth because we are also having a lot of, you know, macro uncertainties in terms of the geopolitical situation as well as the lockdowns in China, etc. So very, hard to give a guidance on revenue as of now. But as the situation, you know, stabilizes, we'll be in a better position. But in general, we are, an engine-based company, and we are, nominated on most of the future platforms. So as the OEMs do well, so will it.
And my last question is on the CV JV side. So there now we are seeing the MHCV from quarter four clocking at about 70,000 to 80,000 units number, and similar we see here in quarter one. So on a CV JV side, at what volume of the CV do we actually start making profitable, and any comments there?
Yeah, so our break-even point on the JV side is 200 crores of value-added sales, and we are roughly about 120 crores this year. And as soon as, you know, the models where we are supplying to see an uptick, we will see a better situation. So as we are nominated for two or three engines, which unfortunately in the overall market have been underperforming, mostly because of the supply side, as they have been hit more with the semiconductor shortage and also coincidentally now precious metal shortage. So our sales have not yet picked up on the JV to the degree that we thought. But as soon as we see an uptick towards that 200 crore value added sales number, we will see much better performance out of the commercial vehicle JV.
This is annual sale?
Annual sale, yeah.
Okay, okay. Thank you, sir. What was it? Quarter 400, if you could?
Was it 40 crore? I don't have it with me, but we'll share this. We will share the exact number of quarter 4 separately. Okay. Have the full year number with
you. Okay, sir. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is in the line of Karthikeyan VK from Suyash Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening. Couple of things. One, a small suggestion. It would help if you highlight the performance of the joint venture separately till at least, it reaches a certain scale because, one is unable to infer from just the reported numbers. Second question is, would there be any progress on any of the other initiatives that you have been attempting? One, of course, is the component exports. Two is your discussions with Edward Parker on expanding the scope of your arrangements. And three, what would have been the last contribution from the battery joint venture? Thank you.
Yeah, so thank you so much, Karthikeyan. So first, definitely that the suggestion, we'll provide something separate to make it clearer regarding the JV. Coming to the questions regarding the components business, so a lot of business development work is undergoing, but as of now, nothing material where we can share in the public domain, but the back-end work is on there. When it comes to the commercial vehicle joint venture, our full focus right now is to first bring it to profitability and then only look at the next phase of it. And the third question regarding the battery, as of now, the battery JV's SOP has not started, so in these numbers, there is no contribution from the battery JV.
Right. And in terms of the catalysts, what exactly is the current situation? Are your customers continuing to source through you, or some additional color on that would be interesting? Have there been any changes, movements on that side?
Yeah, so starting this financial year, maybe one customer would switch over to a value-added sales basis, but we are yet to get confirmation from them, while as some of our other customers who, are requesting us to buy, we remain at status quo with them. But this is an initiative where we are putting effort, and, as time goes by, we are hopeful to get some good results here. But nevertheless, we don't want to, we want to go by our customers. So we don't want to push too hard, but definitely work is going on in this area.
That's right. In that context, would the entire 450 crore of cash be unencumbered, or would there be any part which is against customer advances? The cash balance that you reported, that is.
There are, this maybe Srinivasan can answer this question, but yeah, Srinivasan, please.
Mr. Karthikeyan, can you come back, please, in this question?
I was asking, you have cash of about 450 odd crore rupees at the end of FY22 on a consolidated basis. I was wondering if any part of it is, you know, encumbered against customer advances for these catalysts or any of those other,
No. These are completely free and unencumbered.
Wonderful. Yeah, sure. Let me come back in. Thank you.
Sure. And I just want to add a clarity to the JV numbers. I hope, you know, the JV's numbers only at the profit after tax level get consolidated.
Yes.
So all the other numbers are only independent Sharda Motors.
Standalone. Correct. Yeah. But we don't have clarity on the scale movement. So therefore, you know, like for example, Q3 to Q4, there's been some reduction in losses. So I didn't know what to make of that. So therefore, I thought it will help.
Sure.
Yeah, some indication.
We will do that. Sure.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star in one. The next question is on the line of Saurabh Jain from Sushil Finance. Please go ahead.
Hello. Many congratulations for the robust numbers and thanks for the generous dividend which you have declared. Sir, I have a couple of questions. In one of the earlier con calls, you had mentioned that by FY25, more than 80% of your turnover is likely to come from CV segment, which is not very substantial as of now. So what kind of CAGR do you see over the next 5 years? I understand it would be difficult for you to give the guidance, but just a thought on, you know, some light on from where this 80% number has come.
So thank you so much, Saurabh, we give the guidance that 80% of our revenues will come from the off-highway, commercial vehicle and LCV segment together. And that is largely due to two things. One, in 2024, we will be getting the TREM 5 norms in India, which emissionizes the complete tractor market. So that is going to be an expansion of our addressable market. And hence, we are very hopeful to get good market share there, and that will add to our revenues, and hence that 80% number will come. Second, on the CV and LCV side, there is the RDE cycle which is coming in next year, and we are hopeful to gain some market share there, as well as there is an expansion of content per, let's say, truck on the LCV side as well. So that is largely where we will be getting that 80% mix from. In terms of any forward guidance, right now we are not giving any forward CAGR number on the growth to 2025. But our addressable market is substantially expanding. So we are very optimistic of a strong growth like we have seen in the last couple of years. Thank you.
Okay. That's helpful. But if I can, you know, ask this in a different way. 80% of your turnover is likely to come from these three non-PV segments. So do you think PV is, do you see any contraction in the PV?
No, as of now, we don't see any contraction in the PV side.
Okay. Sir, my next question is, you mentioned the FY22 sales from the JV with Everest Parker was around 110 crores. Can you mention what was the capacity utilization and any guidance for the current fiscal if you can provide?
Sure. So the capacity utilization was roughly 40-50%. And the sales, what we are mentioning is the value-added sales, which are between 100-120 crores. And in terms of guidance right now, we are heavily dependent on basically two engines, which from the supply side and the OEM are having issues in terms of getting the semiconductor, the precious metals, etc. So very hard to give a guidance. But as soon as that situation improves, we are very optimistic to do better in the joint venture.
Okay. My last question on is on cash, which we are holding on our books more than 450 crores. So have you thought of any plans to, you know, deploy the cash? I understand in the last couple of con calls you had mentioned that you are looking for some M&A activity, but any updates on that, and what will be the dividend policy going forward?
Yeah, so we are very actively looking at M&A opportunities, and right now we have not come across or been able to close for one reason or the other. We want to be very careful also while deploying this capital, but we are very active on the M&A front, and of course, if it fits with the right strategy and at the right you know, terms, we will definitely be deploying this capital there, but in a prudent fashion, and hence we are being very careful and not just going for any M&A opportunity. When it comes to a dividend policy, we will be at 10 to 30% of PAT, and we will maintain that policy for this year as well.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much, and all the best.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star in one. We'll move on to the next question. That is on the line of Viraj from SIMPL. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I thanks for the opportunity and congratulations for good numbers in such a challenging environment. Just a couple of questions. First is on the, if I look at the standalone business, if you can just give some color in terms of how the value-added piece would have grown year on year. And in relation to that, how would have the margin behaved? Because, you know, if you look at the overall reported numbers, it doesn't give a true picture. So any perspective on that you can share? That is one. Second is in terms of, you know, for TREM 4 and TREM 5, especially with TREM 4, you know, it's starting from 1st October. So I think by now we would have got a good amount of clarity in terms of custom acquisition and, you know, potential share of pipeline. Of opportunity which is coming. So any perspective you can share on that front?
Sure. So first on the value-added side, so, you know, we are not able to guide yet on value-added sales for the given reasons that we've explained in previous calls. But in general, we have seen decent growth on a YOY basis also, but on probably single digit size. In terms of margins also, it is hard to comment because if you give the margin number, then that can be reverse calculated onto value added number. So we just refrain from that, but we are very actively working at different options to, you know, make this more predictable and transparent. And we are working along with our customers to enable us to share these kind of numbers. So that's for the first. When it comes to the second, so TREM 4 now is coming in 1st October 2022. So in probably the production will start in September. And there we have done a very good job in terms of customer acquisition, and we have a very good market share. But given that that market is very small right now, it will only contribute something like 2 to 3% in of our sales as of now, but it would accelerate when we go into the full financial year of FY24. And then, of course, TREM 5 is where we will really see a very good growth. But the good news is that we've done well on the customer acquisition side on TREM 4, as well as Stage 5, which some of these customers are utilizing Stage 5 products to export to other countries.
So on the value-added part, you know, you said that the growth has been single-digit in FY22. So is it because we have a more higher concentration for a few customers and therefore, you know, it doesn't really mirror the end market growth? Is it because of that? And the reason I ask on the margin is because just to get a sense if there's any, you know, under recovery in terms of raw materials or, you know, other elements, cost and concentration, which we typically have seen with other auto ancillaries. So is there any under recovery in that sense? And then, you know, is that also a lever for profit growth in, you know, FY23?
Yeah, so I think just the value added thing is very approximate. So I would say not to take it at face value, as we cannot guide on the value added side. In terms of under recovery or anything like that, we didn't see any of that in this quarter. So are most of our materials, etc., indexed with the customers.
Okay, last question is on the export part. Our earlier commentary was that, you know, we're looking at ancillary and sub-assemblies kind of product categories, and these are both in law segments and CV, and there the lead times are much more shorter. So, you know, by when do you expect any, you know, traction or any scale-up from the export part playing out for us?
Sure. So the business development work is on, and, you know, it's hard to give any guidance on timing because of the ever-changing situation geopolitically, as well as various things happening around the world. So in terms of timing, it's very hard to give as of now, but we are very hopeful to get some success in that area. And a lot of back-end work by our business development team is on for the thing.
Okay. Thank you and good luck.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question, a reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star in one. The next question is on the line of Apurva Shah from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, my first question is on the, it's a clarity. So for the Airbus Parker JV, I think what you mentioned, ke, the revenue was around 100-120 crores. And if I'm not wrong, it was a similar number in FY21 as well. And at that point of time, we were servicing only one customer. So does that mean, ke, despite of adding the another customer, the it was a stagnant revenue in this year?
Yes, yes. So the revenue on a value-added basis was fairly similar because one of the customers has faced a lot of issues with this engine model in terms of supply side issues.
Okay. And so what would be your combined market share for this JV?
It remains to be the same when the JV side on commercial vehicles, it remains to be the same around 10-15%.
Okay, okay. And sir, one more thing on M&A, I do understand it's too early to mention anything in specific, but broadly, can you just guide us to what are the our focus area? Are we looking for any some technology-led or some product-led acquisition or maybe some companies in Indian market or overseas market? Any thing which help us to make an informed decision?
Sure. As of now, you know, we are open. We are not looking for definitely the global market. So our focus is on the domestic market or a company that can enable our export strategy. And of course, to either strengthen our core or to add to our powertrain agnostic strategy. So there is nothing very specific. We are looking at various options. And, you know, as this develops, we will keep you informed. And I don't want to comment on anything premature.
Got it. And so, for more clarity on the revenue breakup, so can you help us to understand the revenue better in terms of PV, CV, and maybe CEV is still early, but what would be the rough revenue breakup between these three major segments?
Sorry, what's the third segment you said?
CEV. The construction equipment segment.
Okay. So maybe Srinivasan, if you have the numbers, you can take it.
Yeah, yeah. So, Mr. Apurva, on the actual side, you know, the PV and CV both are almost similar at 40-45% of revenue. And if you look at the overall this thing, our 90% revenue comes from exhaust systems and 6% comes from suspension and rest are the procurement and other are 2-3%. So CEV we don't do right now.
Got it, got it. And so just last question from my side. So I really respect the uncertainty prevailing in the condition which restricts yourself to give any guidance. But so CEV was, which is started in maybe in FY22 itself. So considering the scenario to remain standstill, whatever we are seeing currently, so do you see any meaningful revenue coming in from CEV segment in FY23? Because I think that could, what we have seen in last 2 years is that whenever the regulation is implemented, maybe in next 12 to 18 months, there will be some revenue bump up coming up from that particular segment. So can we expect similar thing to happen in CEV which may be reflected in FY23?
Yeah. So for this year, you know, the regulation mainly that is coming up is TREM 4 and a manual regulation for CEB. That doesn't cover a big part of the market, but definitely there'll be some tailwinds with that. But just given that the addressable market doesn't expand very substantially with these two legislation this year, where they significantly expand is the next year when we get the RDE norms coming, and the year after that when we get TREM 5 norms.
So does that mean that FY24 might be that bump up year in terms of revenue for us?
So just not giving any guidance, but as you rightly noted that, you know, as the addressable market substantially increases with couple of legislations, definitely the trajectory of the revenues would be in line with that. And the big legislations are RDE, and even bigger than that for us will be the TREM 5 legislation.
Got it, sir. Thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is on the line of Chirag Shah from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, first question is a follow-up on the earlier question on mismatch between OEM volumes and your revenue growth. So is that your realization per kit, for example, if you supply to Tata Punch and if you supply to the Tata Harrier differs materially? And what could be the difference for the exhaust system value between the two?
Sorry, if you can just repeat the question, your voice is a bit unclear.
Yeah, sorry, sir. Am I audible now? Is it better?
Yeah, it's slightly better.
Yeah. So my question was that if we take the entry level model and a slightly premium model of the same OEM, how does this exhaust system kit value changes? For example, if I take Tata Punch and Tata Harrier as an example, how much is the difference between the two kit values?
Yeah. So you know, without giving any specific numbers, in general, the kit value or the content per vehicle, it differs from model to model, and it is not just high end or lower end. There are other aspects to also be looking at. One is the powertrain type, whether gasoline, diesel, and second is the acoustics performance that is required from the particular car. So some cars have within their engine acoustic issues, some do not. And then also how much of the emissions is taken care by the engine systems itself before it comes to after treatment. So a couple of technical reasons that different cars have different kinds of content. But there is not much substantial differences, but there definitely are differences model to model.
Okay, this was helpful. But if the engine system itself is playing a reasonable role in managing the emission, I presume the kit value will be lower, and the difference could be in the range of 20% between a normal kit, normal exhaust system, and where the engine system plays a significant role.
Yeah, so I think it's very technical, and it's not just about the engine system also. So you know, it may oversimplify it, but let's keep it at that. You know, varied engine types have different kinds of systems that are required. But there's nothing too substantial, right? Maybe substantial would be between in Pascar or the LCV segment, it would be more diesel, CNG, gasoline. There could be differences there. But there are a lot of variables that come into play.
And they're very different. Similarly, if I, for the same model, a petrol-based engine exhaust system and a diesel engine exhaust system, that the difference would be, again, not that significant, or it would be meaningful?
Depends on the OEM strategy, right, on what you know, emission strategy that they take for the particular engines. But in general, diesel is more expensive than petrol on the hot end.
Yeah, so this is helpful. So second question was general product expansion strategy that you have been articulating, including M&A. So the first question was on exports. Generally, it takes 3 to 5 years to fructify the export side of the business, unless you are looking at aftermarket as an option. So, where are we in that journey? Have we started the discussion at least approaching the OEMs for export? Or okay, if you can help us understand, where are we in that stage, in that journey?
Yeah, so we have started the business development cycle, and we are not looking at OEMs. We are not looking at OEMs from the export strategy. We are looking at component makers and small engine makers. So it's a different business development cycle, which is usually short. And we have started the work, and we have RFQs and etc. rolling. But there is nothing material right now to disclose. As things, as we find success, I will keep sharing.
The second question was on Anvik Green. So how should we look at the opportunity for from Kinetic Green perspective? One, and outside of Kinetic Green, how do we look at the EV option value for ourselves? Because Kinetic Green is not appearing in PLI. They seem to have product approved only for three-wheeler products as of now. Plus, on the battery assembly side, there seems to be competition seems to be emerging. A lot of players are targeting that space now. So if you can articulate how Kinetic Group is thinking about this as an opportunity and how it will flow through to us. And yeah, outside so of Kinetic Energy, what you are thinking?
Yeah, so Kinetic Green is our joint venture partner. And they, of course, have a strength in three-wheelers, but they also have a two-wheeler pipeline, and they have made some agreements on their two-wheeler segment also. So there would be two-wheeler vehicles coming out shortly by Kinetic Green. And for us, we want to focus completely right now only on the phase one, which is working with Kinetic Green on battery assembly and BMS. And only after the successful implementation of that will we go beyond to other countries.
This is helpful. Thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vishal S. from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question, sir. So I have two questions. One regarding, if you calculate X of Maruti production, it has, on a Q-on-Q basis, it has grown by almost around 25-odd%. And our top line has grown by almost around 6-7-odd%. And on that basis, if we calculate gross profit per unit, it has actually seen a declining trend. And this has been the first time, you plot a trend, and this has been the first time in last 4-5 quarters it is declined. So is it because there has been, inferior mix, or is it because a market share trend, we have lost certain market share? Can you throw some light on this point? And what is, I know there is value addition part, but can you at least qualitatively share what has been trend in the value addition or market share?
Sure. So there are multiple variables involved in terms of just production data, right? So we have to recall that last year there was also a very heavy semiconductor issue. So a lot of OEMs could be producing the products and keeping them in the yards for much longer before it shows up in production data. So it may not be that accurate. And there are multiple other variables to take into account, as you mentioned, mix, as well as within customer blends, that which customer out of the market has done well versus the other. So what we'll try to do is that we give some kind of a breakdown data, and we share it if our customers allow. But I think it's not as simple to reverse engineer the way you right now attempting to do. But maybe on the back end, let us look at some kind of an index to help you with this kind.
Sure, sir. That would be helpful. But can you qualitatively at least share the trend has been on a increasing or a flattish or a declining trend on, on a trend line basis in terms of market share or value addition?
Yes, we have not seen any, from a qualitative end, we are very similar to what we were. right? So to answer that, we were very similar to what we are. We have probably gotten a little bit more business this quarter. And on a qualitative basis, we don't see any significant change.
Okay, okay. So, sir, just, you know, to get more into this point, in the rank of 1, 2, 3 list, what would be our rank or what the trend in the ranks?
Are you referring to competition, 1, 2, 3 list?
Yes.
Yeah, so we are, and this is excluding ex-Maruti, you're saying, right?
Yes, yes, of course.
Yeah, so between first and second, it is very close, right? And it keeps shifting. And generally, we are first, second, it's very, very close. But I would say that we are first, then there is an American company, which is second, and a French company, which is third.
Great, sir. Great, great. So, sir, one more question on this point. Can you share some qualitative details like who would be our 1, 2, 3 key customers in this overall business?
Sure. We'll share it. I think we don't take any customer names as principal in investor calls, but definitely this data should be available in the public.
Okay, okay, okay. Sir, my second question is regarding, you said the value addition will significantly increase as we go towards TREM 4 and TREM 5 norms and in terms of construction equipment and agriculture equipment business. And similarly in RDE norms as we go towards BS6. So can you share, you know, qualitatively what kind of value addition increase? Will it be 5%, 10%? But similarly, what we have seen from similar trend line, what we have seen from BS4 to BS6, will it be a similar kind of transition?
Sure. So I'll break it into two. One for RDE, as you know, even in the investor deck, we've shared that we are expecting between 10 to 15% increase in content per vehicle. And that would be a blend between gasoline and diesel. Gasoline, we are expecting approximately 10%, and diesel, we are expecting approximately 25%. When it comes to TREM 5, as of now, we cater only to the export market and tractor because this product is not required. So it's going to be a completely new product and a complete increase in our addressable market, which would be in substantial size.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Hi, so this is Sachin Kasra here. Do we need to again invest substantially in terms of R&D for meeting these new norms?
No, it's very similar. So it's very similar, the technology in RDE as well as tractors, as well as construction equipment, etc. And we do have the technology available with us in-house. So we don't need to invest much. It would remain at a similar pace that we have been investing in R&D. And that is the key strength that, you know, the intellectual property that is required for the next 5 years or 7 years, not just in domestic, but as well as the export opportunity, that is already developed by us. And now we will be sweating that asset as we move forward.
When we move from Euro 4 to Euro 6, we saw some market share gains because some of the peers could not match us, and you know, we did a far better job across many areas. Can we? So there are two things. One is obviously very clearly, as you mentioned, that the addressable market itself will go up. But the way it happened from Euro 4 to Euro 6, when we gained market share, are we hopeful that when these new norms come in the next 2-3 years, these various norms, we could look at further market share gains?
So, you know, let's again look at it in two segments. One is segments where we already play, and that is LCV, CV, and passenger vehicles. In these segments, we don't expect anything substantial, but yes, there would be some incremental changes in market share, and we are always working towards improvement. On the commercial vehicle front, possibly there would be a little bit of a market share increase because there we have some opportunity to get into programs which we did not have in the prior cycle. When it comes to TREM 5, this is a completely new
market that's opening up, and that also has a customer base which we have already been working with for many years on their export products, and we have been supplying them very similar products what is now required for the Indian market. So there we are very hopeful to have a very good market share.
And just one last question on R&D and new product development. And one of the obviously key focus areas is our existing products. But are we also investing some substantial sum in the R&D and trying to diversify or develop some new products for our existing or new customers? And if you give us some insights in that.
So as of now, there is nothing to share, but we are always looking at developing innovative products and new products also, but no substantial increase and nothing that we would share separately at this point.
Are we looking at any active joint venture, either technical or equity collaborations, the way some of the other peers are doing in the auto industry space to be able to address a much larger portion of the automobile market?
Yes. So we are very active on the M&A side. Of course, with the right terms and conditions and the right fit, we are looking at all options.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pritesh Chheda from Lucky Investments. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Just one clarification. When you mentioned that you will get 80% of the business from of the EV side, so just one clarification today, when and I am just referring to my past notes as well. Today in the standalone, more than 75-80% of our business comes from PV, right?
Yeah, so I think Srinivasan has the breakup numbers for the bifurcation.
Srinivasan,
if you can just share.
Yeah. So as I mentioned earlier also, that our PV and LCV is almost similar. It's like 40% and 45%. So it's not 80% as you mentioned.
PV and LCV is 45-45. That is standalone.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And JV, any case, there is no revenue that we add. It's just the profitability part. And when we are saying 80% of our business will come from non-PV, so that's where we are factoring in the TREM 5, which is going to bring changes in the CV and the tractor side.
Yes. And we are also factoring in RDE, which will increase the content per vehicle in LCV.
Okay. Okay, so that's how 80% of our business eventually will be non-PV. That's how we are putting it.
Yeah.
Okay, okay. And sir, I couldn't still understand why the volume growth of our OEs do not mirror with the revenue growth. The volume growth did not mirror with our revenue growth. So that part is still non-comprehensible.
Sure. What we'll do is we'll work out an index. And then, you know, we will share it offline and we will then work out an index mechanism or something that would be reflective just because we cannot share value added sales, right? And hence,
it's okay, you can share index because when you mention single digit volume growth for FY22 on a value added basis, the OEMs that we sell have a much substantially larger volume growth number for FY22, so that even added more to the confusion.
Sure. No, so again, not to take that at face value, because when I mentioned that what is produced by us, especially last year, and what was sold by the OEMs, there would definitely be a lag there because that was at the peak of the semiconductor issues where a lot of OEMs were producing the cars and keeping them in the yard also. So that's why it's not an apple-to-apple comparison, and hence to refrain from, you know, any, you know, ambiguity, I think it's better to look at the index or whatever best we can share given the limitation that we have on sharing value-added sales number.
So let's say we can understand the now the mismatch in production, the mismatch in sales, let's say, because we refer to the sales number, but barring that reason, there isn't any other in, like, let's say, either in terms of the value addition to non-value addition changes happening with the OEs or any loss of market share with the OE Any of those reasons also is what you want to highlight or are meaningful by any chance?
No. So on a qualitative side, as I mentioned, that none of those issues are there. This is simply optical changes which are there between what is reported by CM, what is reported by the FADA, and how the OEMs are produced. So this is just an optical thing which we'll be able to clear by the index. And nothing on the qualitative side at all. We see a very steady position.
But is that a substantial gap? Because the gap becomes really substantial then between the production number, the sales number, and obviously we mirror the production number, whereas as analysts we have been looking at the sales.
So I think that's why with our number you have to understand that roughly half our customers make us buy the catalyst. Half of the customers give it to us free of cost, right? Now, if the blend within that product mix changes, right, it can have a substantial impact alone just with that, right? Half of our customers, so if the customer who tells us to buy it free of cost, if their sales went up, then there will be an impact accordingly.
Yeah, but sir, then the absolute EBITDA growth rate should still mirror the volume growth, right? Forget the top line number.
Sure. So I can list. So what we'll do is we provide the index, and once you have it, we'll then have a discussion around it. So it'll be much clearer with the data.
Okay. It will be helpful, sir, because then it becomes a little bit confusing. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Aman Vij from Astute Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. My questions are on the legislative tailwind side. So if you can talk about, first of all, current legislation changes which have happened in the last 2-3 years, which has been helping our company. How much more growth potential is left for that conversion happening and thus be growing? Is it like for 1-3 years more, we can still grow on the base products I'm talking about at 15-20% almost? The second part of this question is on the two new legislations which you are talking about, the addressable market increasing for us, and you have also talked about content increasing. If you can broadly, in your estimate, quantify the increase in addressable market, both for TREM as well as, say, the RDMO. According to you, whatever is your best estimate?
Sure. So, just taking the first, looking back the legislations that have benefited us in the last 3 years, largely the legislation was BS6 and now TREM 4, and that led to content per car and truck in the case of BS6 increasing, as well as on the TREM 4 side, a marginal increase in the number of tractors that require our product. When we look forward, then definitely there is a very good legislation tailwind that is ahead of us. In 2022, right now, April itself will be the beginning of TREM 4. Then we will be moving into RDE in 2023 April, which will have an increase in content per vehicle for passenger vehicles and LCV, and it will also give us an opportunity for some market share gain in the commercial vehicle side. And then when we look forward, we are looking at the TREM 5 legislation, which will be coming in 2024, and that will emissionize the entire tractor as well as the construction equipment market. In terms of specific market size numbers, right now, given the various variables, we don't have any specific number, but largely the way we look at it is that the tractor market will be as large as the commercial vehicle and the passenger vehicle market on a very rough estimate. So it would be a substantial increase in the addressable market. And that's on the domestic front. But as part of our strategy, we are also opening to export for subcomponents in the global market, as well as utilizing our intellectual property for small engines and the smaller engines which require emissions all over. And that, of course, is an exponential increase in addressable market.
and that would only be an addition to it.
So, continuing on this part, going forward for the next 3 years, how do you see the mix changing in terms of, you have explained in terms of growth in non-PV, non-PV will be higher, but in terms of export, domestic also, if you can talk a little bit.
Sorry, I didn't get you. Export and?
A mix of export and domestic, the opportunity in export and domestic. So, do you think the domestic will be much stronger, or do you think because export also can be equally strong?
No, so export can be a very positive surprise. You know, right now we have begun the business development cycle, so not sharing anything from, but export can definitely be a positive surprise, which is all on top of this, right? And hence not sharing something, but in the very general way, you know, it could definitely be a very positive surprise because this China plus one trend is extremely strong all over the world, and that is going to benefit you know, companies like us who will play in the subcomponent market as well as the small engine market.
Sure, sir. That is it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag Shah from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So just one question on this RBE norm. You indicated it will be more important from LCV perspective and not passenger vehicle perspective. Is it right? Did I hear understand it correctly that the value content increases more on LCV and less on PV?
So I think just to put it that in gasoline engines, it is generally 10% and in diesel engines, it's generally 25%. So LCV segment is usually more diesel and passenger vehicle segment is more gasoline.
But in passenger also 10% kind of increase is likely to happen, which itself is a reasonable increase in content.
Yes.
The second question is, any indications from OEM in terms of the value add versus what out mix, will it stay the way it is or it will change? And anything on the import versus localization side in the initial phase?
So I didn't get the import versus localization question.
So in this, there are what out components which will be imported, right? Or which we, in this, when you move to RB.
No, so it will remain the same. In terms of import and domestic, it would generally remain the same. In terms of now from the OEM side, we are working along with them and trying to make this value-added sales slash brake issue either that we can share it separately or to, you know, get it free of cost. But as of now, potentially with one customer, we may have some success, but we are, it's a constant journey that we are working on, and as we are able to improve, we'll keep sharing.
Just one last question, if I can squeeze in. Are there any under-recoveries still left from OEM side on the costs, or is there any lag effect still left in, and because of which margins could be slightly subdued for us?
As of now, you know, what is RM indexed and what is indexed, that is going as per plan. And as per the indexing, now as we move ahead, it is hard to comment, but we are going, OEMs are following an indexing plan.
So that there is no major under recovery from that perspective?
Okay. No, nothing major. Nothing major.
Mr. Chirag Shah, are you done with your questions?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be taking the last question. That is on the line of Vishal S. from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for taking my question again. Sir, this is regarding the export opportunity which you said. Sir, can you share some details like what would be the opportunity size of the segment you are targeting in export market?
Yeah, so the export segment is so vast and scattered as of now, so it is very hard to put a number on it, right? Because we are talking of a market size that is 10x. Now, of course, as we start developing these subcomponents, we'll have a better idea on full market size. But it is exponentially bigger than the domestic market.
Okay, sir. Sir, specifically which customers you are targeting?
We are targeting tier ones where we can supply subcomponents to, and we are targeting the small engine manufacturers. These are generally on the off-highway side. This could be either genset makers, agriculture makers, construction equipment, and then there are some standalone companies who just focus on small engines as well.
Okay, sir. And which geography?
Mainly North America and Europe.
Okay. Okay, sir. And sir, what would be our proposition in this?
So in the side of small engines, we are one of the few companies in the world who have the technology to meet the CEV norms or the CPCB norms or the TREM IV and TREM V norms, and we are a great alternative towards this China trend. So we have all the intellectual property which has already proven that we can supply such systems and that we have seen domestically in the MV market, CV market, etc. So that is one value proposition. On the component side, there are few components which we have developed as part of our backward integration journeys, which are proprietary in nature, which have usefulness beyond our products also, as those similar backward integrated products are used in other sides also. So these are the large value propositions on the committee that we have.
Great, sir. Sir, one last question. How do you see this opportunity for you growing from 3 to 5 years horizon? Or 5 years horizon, I would be a bit long-term.
Okay. So just no guidance as we are giving, but we are fairly confident to maintain historical growth rates or even better than. And the reason for that is that there's a big legislation tailwind that we have. Plus, we are now attempting for much larger international export opportunities. So we're very optimistic about the next 5 years, and we should be outperforming the market substantially in the next 5 years. But of course, it is going to be in increments of legislation and as we develop the business as well.
Sir, sorry, I was not able to explain your question. I'm asking about the export opportunity 5 years hence from here.
Okay. So not in the position to put a number yet on it, as we are early in the business development cycle. But as it develops, we will definitely keep you posted. And in general, we expect this to be a positive surprise, right? Because we are seeing good interest, very good interest, I would in fact say, in our initial encounters. But only once things firm up would we give you some broad guidelines also.
Okay, sir. Sir, as a percentage to sales, can you provide some color on that?
Yeah. So as it materializes, we provide. At this juncture, we will just keep it as a broad trend guideline.
Fair enough, sir. Fair enough. Thank you for the answer, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much. All the best, sir.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Srinivasan N. for his closing comments.
Yeah, thank you. So we thank you all for your participation in our earnings call today. We hope we have been able to address all your queries. And wherever we have further questions, we will be getting in touch with you for the details. And any further queries, you may get in touch with our IR advisors, Strategic Growth Advisors. And thanks a lot and have a good evening.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Sharda Motor Industries Limited, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.